welcome to Data Science Perspectives. This series focuses on analytics and data science professionals from across industry to learn about how their career unfolded, what skills they look for when hiring, and what trends they think are coming next. I'm your host, Bill Franks. Let's get to it. Welcome to this episode of Data Science Perspectives. Today, I'm excited to have Eric Schmidt of the Coca-Cola Company. He's the Global Director of Data and Analytics there today. Now, Eric's been a longtime fixture in the Atlanta analytics community. He actually started in his career in school with an undergraduate master's and PhD from Georgia Tech here in town. He then went on later to get an MBA from the prestigious Emory University, also here in Atlanta. So he's well-connected and got a lot of great experience. In addition to his current role at Coca-Cola, I first met him probably 10 years ago when he was at his first role in Coca-Cola. He also, from there, went to Intercontinental Hotels Group for a number of years. He's also had stints with Georgia Pacific and SunTrust Bank, which is now Truist. So a really good breadth of experience with some various companies. He's worked in marketing, he's worked in revenue management, he's worked in risk management. So I'm really excited to hear what Eric has to say today. And with that, let's welcome Eric to the show. All right. Hey, Eric, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, as you know, you've been around Atlanta for a long time. In fact, you started with your three engineering degrees, undergrad, master's, and PhD, from Georgia Tech, and then got an MBA from Emory, also here in town. But through all that, you've actually focused on analytics and data science. What led you down the path you went, and how did you kind of make that move from initially getting into engineering and then getting an MBA and focusing on analytics for the last decade or two?
Yeah, so an interesting path, I find myself explaining why, you know, how and why I moved from engineering into business and analytics. Really, I think the underlying thing about my personality is I'm just curious. I'm always curious. So I'm always chasing after some interesting problem to solve. I'm always trying to learn new things. And, you know, I think that's what took me down that engineering path. And that got me to a place in my career where I happened to be in Spain working for Hewlett Packard in R&D. And I had several colleagues that were expats that were working there with me who were working in various parts of the business, and got to know some of the folks in marketing, some of the folks who were kind of driving product strategy, actually kind of driving the innovation piece. And I remember thinking, you know, I'm in R&D. You know, I was expecting to be kind of this inventor, innovator kind of person in the company, but really it was coming from marketing. And, you know, just talking with, you know, my colleagues on the business side, started to really get more interested in applying my analytic and mathematics skills to solve business problems and kind of move closer to the business side of things. And that's what brought me back actually to Atlanta to you know, pursue an MBA at Emory. And while I was there, happened to take a few classes in marketing and marketing analytics and decision science, and actually wound up focusing on those topics in my MBA program, and just really loved it. And I think it's just really about following my interest and my passion for solving problems. And, you know, in engineering, a lot of the systems that we work with are somewhat deterministic. I mean, there are equations that kind of describe how things work pretty well. But in marketing, we talk about people are random. So in a way, it's a little bit more interesting, you know, question or problem to try and tackle. And so that really just kind of pulled me in to say, okay, there's opportunity here to kind of take the analytics, take the math, and try and solve some more interesting problems and apply it to business challenges. So that's how I kind of got, you know, onto the track that I'm on now.
No, it's interesting too. I know some people go really deep in one industry or one company, and you know, you've actually gone the other way. I mean, here in Atlanta, as I mentioned when I introduced you, you know, you've worked for Georgia Pacific and Intercontinental Hotels, you know, and Coca-Cola, for example. You've been marketing focused, revenue management, risk management when you were at SunTrust, the bank. So you've had a variety of roles in analytics in a variety of industries. So what have you found sort of similar and different across what to an outsider would appear to be very, you know, different types of companies with very different types of analytical needs?
Yeah, and I actually feel very fortunate to have been able to work across several different industries and in different companies looking at different problems. But the common theme for all of those is really the fundamentals and the core analytics, you know, capabilities and thinking that you apply to each one of those. So, you know, statistics, a good founding of statistics, probability, modeling, the math piece of it, the applied mathematics piece of it, I think is very, there are a lot of commonalities in the analytics piece of it across each of those companies and each of those industries. Now, the business context, that's what's different. Like, what are the needs of the business, what kind of questions are being asked, and like how do you actually apply those mathematical approaches to solve that particular business problem? Those are the differences. But I would say that's the technical point of view on it. The thing that I talk a lot about these days and mentor folks and coach people on, some folks on my team and other folks that I'm working with, beyond the technical and analytics piece, it's really about understanding the business need and the business problem that you're being asked to solve. So I'd say that is a common skill across all of those companies, all of those industries, is really starting with what's the business question and really trying to answer that business question. The other aspect of it is reducing complexity and you know, speaking as an engineer, have a couple graduate degrees in engineering. When I first came out of my engineering program, my thinking and my approach to solving problems, it was different than it is now, and has a lot to do with reducing complexity. And so when you're pursuing, you know, advanced engineering degrees and applying advanced methodologies to solve problems, et cetera, there is an excitement about getting into some really deep technical details and really pushing the envelope on methodology or new techniques or approaches. But in the business world, that's not a good thing necessarily. Your stakeholders probably don't have the patience or the desire to get into the weeds with you. So reducing complexity, the ability to take the complex and reduce that down to really focus on what are the key business questions, and then the ability to kind of get to what the solution is without too much complexity, are similarities across all those experiences. Some of the differences are, it's again, there are different contextual factors with the different types of business questions. So revenue management and ISG, for example, that's a particular field and practice area within travel and hospitality, and there's some nuances involved. But there are similar things in pricing at CPG and Georgia Pacific or Coca-Cola, but the way that you approach those pricing problems are different because the nature of the business is different. The way that IHG collects revenue is different than the way that Coca-Cola or Georgia Pacific collects revenue. So the way that you think about revenue management is a little bit different. I would say beyond those contextual things, some of the differences are also relative to the evolution of analytics over the course of my career. So where I was at SunTrust and GP, it was, you know, we're talking, you know, maybe 15 years ago now at this point, the nature of analytics at that time, I think, was in some cases about a one-off analytics study, or you do a project, or you're looking for an insight, or you're trying to solve a problem. And as I've, moved along in my career, and I think analytics and the way that the industry is going, the analytics industry is going, is to have always on continuous analytics and moving from building or producing analytics projects to producing analytics platforms and processes that are constantly running. And that has a lot to do with this move to big data and cloud technology, et cetera. So I've had different experiences along the way just simply because of the evolution of the analytics as well.
I know you raised a really good point about trying to simplify things and get them to work in a business environment. And that brings up, you know, one of the age old debates amongst the analytics and data science community is where should the organization report? And the big battle is, should it be under the business or should it be under IT? Now, you're one of the people I know that actually has reported to business at certain points in your career and to IT at certain points in your career. So from your experience, what have you seen as the trade-offs between those two options?
Yeah, it is an interesting maybe pendulum, or I don't know what the right analogy is in terms of where does quote analytics sit. And I've had different opinions or thoughts on it at different points in my career. And I would say my current thinking and the way that I see it now is it really is about having a good partnership between the business side and the IT side. And I think I've been fortunate to have been able to work both on the business side and the IT side. And in fact, I wanted to go work on the IT side to understand how IT works, and then how can I better work with IT, either on the business side or within IT. So the trade-offs or benefits of either the quote, you know, very general description of the business side versus, you know, IT is that, in my experience, the business perspective, the positives, the pros of working with the business are that they typically drive the initiative, and therefore you're more in the driver's seat. So it starts with the business need. What's the business question? So if you're in analytics on the quote business side, you're probably going to be more on the client side, or driving kind of what's being done or what the need is. I kind of like that. I kind of enjoy being able to define, you know, the what and the how and the strategy behind it. But some of the trade-offs are not everyone in the business, has the analytics acumen to understand how analytics can be applied to solve their problem, and therefore they may not support it. So you can find yourself sometimes constantly trying to build that business case and defend the value of analytics, et cetera, or trying to make sure that the analytics projects are being steered in the right direction. So that can be some of the challenges if you're working on the quote business side in analytics. In IT, the fun part about IT, and I remember thinking this is, you know, kind of when I first started really work on the IT side, is I started in engineering. That's who I am. That's my core, you know, at Georgia Tech. And when I got to IT, I was like, I get it. You know, these are all engineers. These are all very logical, thinkers, engineering oriented. And very much about solving the problem, and just really great collaboration and that feel of working with a team of engineers. It brought me back to like my Hewlett Packard days. It brought me back to when I was at Georgia Tech in my engineering program. And therefore they actually do the work. They actually get the stuff done. So if you want to be hands-on keys and actually kind of building the systems and the platforms, you're going to have that opportunity, I think, more so in IT than you may on the business side. Now there's this whole area of like data science that's kind of in between the two, which, we can talk about later if you'd like, but I would say that's where a lot of the technical resources are going to sit. The trade-off with IT is that, they can be disconnected from the business. So there's, I think there's a, a Dilbert cartoon where it showed that, what marketing and engineering and sales and, what the solution looks like. I wish I could, display that here, but basically the engineering one was, they were trying to build a tree swing, and the engineering one was basically something that looked like it was very efficient, but it didn't look like a tree swing at all, and probably, wouldn't be fun to swing in. And that can be a risk. That can be a trade-off in IT, is that, because of that engineering mindset, there's a drive for engineering perfection and process and, doing things in an engineering way that don't necessarily connect with what the business need is and ultimately like a consumer or customer need. So, it's kind of that classic dynamic, right? Yeah. But those have been my observations.
So, put that together, just a quick question then. If you could think of one thing that you wish someone had told you before you started working that now is blindingly obvious to you but wasn't before you experienced it, what would that be?
So, one of the things, whether you're on the business side or the IT side or wherever you're working, I would say the thing that I've learned later on in my career, and I'm continuing to try and develop, is the ability to communicate. And I think if you're in analytics, that's probably one of the potential blind spots for you. And maybe an area where you may want to think about putting some effort into honing your skills or developing some skills. When I first came out of my PhD program, I thought I was really, really good at explaining technical concepts and describing, these complex mathematical systems and physical systems. After all, I got a PhD in this field. But in my first business role or two, or probably even up until a few years ago, just explaining something basic like price elasticity to business stakeholders, I probably wasn't so effective at it. I probably wasn't a great communicator. I think really where that kind of dawned on me was in my MBA program. And that was very helpful for me. So I think, I wish I would have earlier on in my career been clued into the importance of good communication skills, presentation skills, the ability to tell stories, to be engaging, how am I presenting myself, et cetera. And then again, coming back to really working hard at reducing the complexity, and especially in that communication. And again, because from an analytics mindset or an analytics professional point of view, I think we all assume that everyone else just gets it at the level that we get it at, but that's not always the case. And even when you're talking to very, very smart people, if you're introducing complex ideas and you're trying to do that in a 10 or 15 minute period, there's only so much you can kind of squeeze in, even if you're talking to folks who are in the analytics community or analytics professionals. So that's the one thing I wish I would have started working on, like in my undergrad, like right away, yeah, is communication skills.
That's interesting. So you've, back to bring a couple of these threads together, you've come from a technical background, you've also got a business degree, you've worked in IT, you've worked in business, but all of that's been focused on attempting to, scale and drive adoption of analytics, so scale both on the technical side and in the business usage side. What are, in your mind, have been the most consistent issue you faced? Has it been the technical issues in getting that adoption and scaling, or has it been some of those interpersonal communication issues that you found is the biggest barrier to companies making more progress?
Yeah, so some of the challenges that I've experienced, I'm going to try to generalize this, and it could be different. You can have different experiences even within the same company, right? So, if you work for a big enough company, in a way, could have, you know, different cultures within at the same company, and so that you might have one team or department that is much more analytics friendly, it has the you know, the background, the experiences, the senior leader support, et cetera. But then you go over to another team and, you know, they're just starting their journey in analytics. And in some cases, there are barriers to adoption. And I would say one is it's cultural. So one is, it is the use of analytics and adoption of, let's say, objective thinking or, you know, objective analytic approaches, is that something that is part of their DNA or part of their culture? If not, how do you change that? So, and I think it really is the senior level, top down kind of support that drives whether or not that's part of the culture or not. I'd have to say, I'm going to, you know, say currently at like Coca-Cola, we've got our CEO talking about the value, our CEO, our CFO, our chief operating officer, all of our senior level leadership, they're all talking about analytics and driving business value through analytics. So you can't get better than that, right? So I think one is if that's not in place, it can be a barrier. So if you don't have that senior leadership drive to adopt analytics and make it part of the culture, that can be a challenge. The other piece is, there's this issue around legacy processes, and this is the way we've always done it. And so you've got to be able to get people to move from what they have been doing, and, you know, really describe to them or show them how leveraging this new approach or this new model or whatever it is that you want to do can help them. But there's a lot of stickiness to like doing it the old way, because it requires effort on your stakeholders' part to change what they've been doing, right? So from an analytics perspective, you have to show them how it's going to help, what value it's going to drive, but you also have to make it as easy as possible for them to move from what they're doing to the new state. And that can be a challenge. You know, it takes a lot more work than just solving the model. It takes that communication, the interpersonal skills, you know, the ability to paint the vision and actually drive it. So yeah, those are some opportunities, I think, in terms of helping people adopt analytics in their organization.
Yeah, so I guess before we're out of time here, let's shift our vision forward a little bit. If you had to pick one area that you think is growing and is going to become a big impact, say 3 to 5 years out, what do you think that might be as of where you sit today?
I don't know if there's one area that I think particularly stands out. I actually have kind of a couple things, but I'll pick one that I'm currently focused on, and I think it may be, you know, because it's something that we're thinking about in my current role or at our company, and that is, you know, with this era of big data, cloud computing, etc., there's this concept of a lot more volume of data, a lot more velocity of data. There's just a lot more information coming at you from a company perspective or from a business analytics perspective. And so we need ways or tools or things to help us manage all of that information, that velocity of information, et cetera. And I think there's an opportunity in automation. So automation of analytics, this idea of like digital assistants, so IE or AKA chatbots. I was at a conference a few years ago. It was an analytics software company, and they had like a focus group, and they asked, well, what are you looking for? Because they wanted input from their customers to understand what they should develop. And I basically said, you know, I would like a application or some smart AI or something automated where Right now, I have maybe a couple of analysts that I say, hey, go look into this data and tell me what's going on there and where their opportunities or where those insights are. I would like an AI that I can just push that into and then it does all of that. Because there's a lot of manual work involved. There's a lot of data prep and cleaning. There's potentially iterative analytics processes that are needed to be done. Not that I want to replace the analysts. I want to free them up to do more advanced thinking or work that can't be necessarily pushed off into an automated process. But I think there's a lot of opportunity in the data science and analytics space to think about how do we leverage technology to pick up more of those routine and processes that can be automated to free up the human minds to kind of focus on more esoteric kind of problems. So I think that might be a good place to focus on or think about going forward.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I like your angle of the positives of the automation, helping us do more interesting things and a larger volume of things. It's not always that you're literally replacing that person. You're enabling them to do more. And I think a lot of traditional technologies have had a similar impact, from automobiles to everything else, right? They enabled you to do things that you otherwise couldn't. And so it's progress moving forward. But anyway, hey, I want to thank you. I know you're a busy guy with everything going on, and it was great to have you on the show. And I'm sure the audience is going to get a lot out of it. So thanks so much.
Thank you, Bill.